sounds of independent news.
Crashing the mainstream media siege.
Yo.
A march toward those who control our neighborhoods, our wages,
yes.
And they believe that they have all the
power. The Troy Davis case. In 1991, Troy Anthony Davis was convicted and sentenced to death for a crime he claims, and a substantial amount of evidence upholds, he did not commit. Convicted for the 1989 murder of a white, off-duty Savannah, Georgia police officer named Mark Allen McPhail. Since Davis's trial, 7 of the 9 eyewitnesses have recanted their testimony, and the physical evidence linking him to the scene has been withdrawn and proved as false. Numerous appeals for Davis to be retried have been thrown out. Davis's execution is scheduled for September 21st of this year, at 7 p.m. by lethal injection. Scores of human rights organizations, activists, and public figures, from the NAACP, Amnesty International, to the ACLU, and even the Pope, have called for Davis's pardon from execution. The last hope appears to be on September 19th, when Davis will have a clemency hearing in front of the 5-member Georgia State Board of Pardons and Parole. If he is granted clemency, his sentence is likely to be reduced to life in prison. Activists are hoping for this outcome so that they can then work for his retrial and release. In the past few weeks, a coalition of organizations have organized a series of vigils, marches, and a variety of petitions amassing around 500,000 signatures. September 16, 2011 is hailed as the Global Day of Solidarity for Troy Davis. Thousands of marches and actions are estimated to happen worldwide for Troy Davis.
Racism in Baltimore lead paint study. Baltimore's Kennedy Krieger Institute is facing a class action lawsuit after more than 10 years of litigation surrounding a case that it had knowingly exposed more than 100 African American children to lead poisoning in a medical study. The study, which took place for 6 years in the 1990s, was looking at the effects of lead paint. Many of the children were between the ages of 12 months and 5 years old. According to the lawsuit that is representing the families of the children, many of the youth have suffered irreversible neurological damage and were not given any treatment for their injuries by Kennedy Krieger nor its affiliate, Johns Hopkins. In 2001, the Maryland Court of Appeals compared the study to the infamous 40-plus year Tuskegee syphilis experiment, in which the U.S. Public Health Service intentionally infected several hundred African American men of syphilis without their consent between the 1930s and 1970s.
40th anniversary of the Attica Rebellion. Tuesday, September 13th marked the 40th anniversary of the suppression of the rebellion at Attica State Prison in New York. In 1971, prisoners revolted against the prison, demanding better living conditions. Approximately 2,200 inmates rebelled and took 33 staff hostage. As was desired, the state began negotiating with prisoners. Within the next 4 days of negotiations, the state agreed to some of the prisoners' demands, but refused to agree to either the removal of the state superintendent or amnesty for the prisoners of the rebellion. On Governor Nelson Rockefeller's orders, police forces stormed Attica, crushing the rebellion and massacring 39 people in the process. Newly released tapes of a conversation between President Nixon and Governor Rockefeller show that Nixon wholeheartedly endorsed the massacre and also completely disregarded the multiracial components of the uprising, stating that it was, quote, basically a black thing, unquote. 40 years after the uprising, abolitionist activists state that we should keep it as a reminder that resistance is possible.
Taxpayer money allocated to cover excessive police force costs. Originally reported in the Baltimore Brew, the city of Baltimore has been allocating significant amounts of the city budget to settle lawsuits of excessive force committed by the city's police. According to the article, the 2012 Baltimore City budget has allocated $1.9 million to handle litigation involving the police and its use of excessive force against citizens. The city is currently dealing with a case where it will be paying out $30,000 after one incident in 2009 when city officers broke the wrist and induced head injuries to Michael Wright, a repairman, after they aggressively yanked him from his vehicle after a routine traffic stop.
Upsurge in D.C. hate crimes against transgender individuals. Washington, D.C.'s mayor, Vincent Gray, made a 2010 decision to slash victim services. Since July of this year, four transgender or gender-variant individuals have suffered shootings. In one case, an off-duty police officer was convicted of shooting at three trans women and their two male friends. Allegedly, this incident occurred after the police officer propositioned one of the women for a sexual favor, and she turned him down. On Tuesday, September 13th, a 20-year-old man was convicted of shooting a trans woman with intent to kill the day before. These are just a handful of the growing and numerous incidents, and local LGBTQ organizations have called for the city to address the targeting of transgender individuals within the city, the police to pursue investigations thoroughly, and the city to actively work to end hate crimes against LGBTQ individuals within Washington, D.C. During a press conference this past Monday, a statement was given that, quote, police officials expressed concern that at least some rank-and-file officers continue to show a bias against members of the LGBT community, especially against transgender women, end quote. Activists declare that with the strong surge of hate crimes against trans individuals, only being given this meager statement and little else is deplorable and not enough.
Wage protest. This past September 15th, on the Independence Day of many Central American countries, dozens of workers from the produce packing facility of Lancaster Foods in Jessup, Maryland, held a protest demanding for their unpaid wages. The demonstration was organized on a day that represents, for many Central American migrant workers, a day to celebrate struggles against injustice. The workers were directly employed by the temp agency SS Staffing, which recently closed and failed to pay the workers 3 months' worth of wages. Now the workers are taking it up with Lancaster Foods, which is ultimately responsible for their pay. One worker and organizer of the protests, Aiden Perez, was quoted stating, "The irony is that while we were packing food to be delivered to tables across Maryland, our families were frequently forced to go hungry because we were not paid."
Announcements. Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Morgan State Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies presents Secret Wars and Post-Soul Battle World: Philosophy and Race Beyond the Black-White Binary.
Play for Palestine. Friday, September 23rd, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at T-Volve Cafe and Lounge, located on 1401 Alisana Street. Play for Palestine is a music event benefiting the Freedom Theater in Jenin. The Freedom Theater, a theater and cultural center in Jenin Refugee Camp, is developing the only professional venue for theater and multimedia. In the north of the West Bank in occupied Palestine, since it opened its doors in 2006, the organization continues to grow, develop, and expand, enabling the young generation in the area to develop new and important skills which will allow them to build a better future for themselves and for their society. All donations are highly appreciated.
The 2011 Radical Book Fair Pavilion, Friday, September 23rd to Sunday, September 25th, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday, at Mount Vernon Place. The annual Radical Book Fair Pavilion at the Baltimore Book Festival is upon us, a 3-day celebration of informed resistance filled with exciting panels, discussions, and tablers from around the country and beyond. Being organized by our favorite radical bookstore and cafe, Red Emma's, this year's book fair will include, take a deep breath, the Baltimore Free School's literature and language-related skill shares and workshops, Friday's all-day zine bazaar, which celebrates independent publishing, DIY politics, crudely drawn comics, uncompromising self-expression, long-arm staplers with our favorite local and national zine authors, and panels throughout the rest of the weekend, ranging from a Baltimore Histories panel to a race and sports panel, to a panel exploring race, gender, privilege, identity, and solidarity within punk culture, to a trans politic panel, to a social movement state repression panel, and so much more. For more information, please visit bookfair.redemmas.org. Seriously, folks, this is going to be one hell of an incredible weekend.
A Ride Till the End, Bikes, Not Bombs. Thursday, September 29th at 7 p.m. at Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. A Ride Till the End, ARTTE, is a collective of veterans and artists riding bicycles around the U.S., raising awareness about the situations in Iraq and Afghanistan. We see art as an effective medium for healing and facilitating palatable dialogue amongst diverse voices on occupations. Many veterans return home with frustration from participating in senseless war and need to find their voice in order to begin a path of healing. Join veterans and civilians as they make their pit stop in Baltimore. This event is sponsored by the Civilian Soldier Alliance. Movie viewing, Cruel and Unusual, September 30th, 2011 at 5 p.m. Towson University, Student Union Building, rooms 314 through 316. Imagine being a woman in a men's prison. This moving and thoughtful documentary raises awareness about the abuse, isolation, and poor medical care faced by transgender prisoners. This event is open to the public and is free to attend. Host, the Towson Queer Alliance and Trans United.
Those are the headlines of Sounds of Independent News. Please send your suggestions or headlines to independentreader@gmail.com. Also, check out our host site at indiereader.org.